Love God, lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 through 6. Y'all ready? Ooh, about seven of you. Okay, y'all ready?
Yes.
It's a little bit better. This side's ready. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 through 6. Here we go. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence, Lord God, and we ask right now for the anointing to be in this room so that, Father, we may understand the weapons that you've given us to build the life that you've called us to build. Father, we just ask that your presence would impact the people right now, open their hearts, their minds to what you would say this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, we've been talking a little bit about the promise. I've been talking to you about having a different spirit, and with the text that we've been using has been Joshua and the Israelites from the book of Exodus going into Joshua. Last week I talked to you about dealing with discouragement, because that's one of the greatest barriers to you possessing your promise. And that's why when God appeared to Joshua, he tells him three times, "Be strong and have good courage. Be strong and have good courage. Be strong and have good courage." He gives him that word three times because he knows the schemes of the enemy. And what the enemy likes to simply do is bring discouragement your way as you're building and waiting on your promise. So he discourages you in your marriage. She ain't never going to change. Stop all that. He discourages you in your singleness, you know. God, I'm just tired of waiting. We talked about dealing with that discouragement, and you got to break that. We had a great testimony come in this past week from a young man in second service who came in and was down to some of his last dollars, came into church, and he had an opportunity to invest or start a business. He was extremely discouraged, and lo and behold, God really used that word to encourage him. So he went out, made a phone call, and boom, started a brand new business. God opened the opportunity for him. He took time out of his day on Monday. We were just getting to the office. Pastor Willard and I pulled up, and there's this guy waiting here, and he comes and he goes, "Hey, I don't want to take up too much of your time. You don't know me, but I was in service on Sunday, and the Lord used that word. I'm a proud new business owner. God worked it out." Yeah. He said, "I almost said no to the opportunity because I was so discouraged. And I came in and I heard that word, and now I decided I'm going to trust the Lord." And so, you know, what you act on when you hear a word will determine what you get out of it. Amen. So we dealt with that. Well, I want to spend the next few weeks talking about the topic of the weapons of our warfare. That's what we're calling this series of messages here, the weapons of our warfare. And the reason I want to talk to you about this is because you got to know how to use your weapons. We have so many Christians that are so comfortable, and we talked about how God saved you out of Egypt, saved you out of your addiction, saved you out of your bondage, saved you and I out of our sin, not just so we can come into these chairs every week and sit in church and praise him and give and all that. No, there's so much more to this than just that. But yet the average Christian, that's literally all they're doing. They don't go to the club anymore, they go to church. Come on. They don't give to their weed dealer anymore. They give to the offering and the tithe. Come on, somebody. And that's it. And they're not seeing a better life. Their wife and them are still fighting just as much as they were, before. Nothing's changed. Their finances, their vision. And that's because a lot of Christians have settled in the wilderness. They're just happy. Praise God, we're not getting bailed out of jail no more. Praise God, we're not, coming home drunk at 2 a.m. Praise God, we're not waking up next to some creature on a Friday night because we had beer goggles. And we're just happy about, all that stuff. We're just so blessed that we don't have that. But here's the problem. God has saved you for so much more. Matter of fact, he created you for so much more. And as I was saying during the offering time, remember, if he calls himself Father and he reveals himself as Father to us, you have to understand what that means. And every mother and father here wants our kids to have a great life. And so here's what we should be approaching life with the understanding that God, now that you're saved, he wants to bless you. Now that you're saved, he wants to pour out his goodness on you. But let's be honest. Some of us ain't seeing it. Some of us are still struggling. Some of us are still, we've been serving God a long time. And if we're really honest, not much has changed. Well, I want to address that today. Because that should not be the case. Understand this, that We say all the time something our pastor taught us, and that is this: God is on your side. God is on your side. So there's no reason why your business should not carry the mark of blessing because God is on the side of your business. That just makes sense. If he's my dad, If God up in heaven, I'm going to say it like this, please don't hear the disrespect, but if he's going to dare say he's my dad, and if we're going to sing that he's a good, good father, what kind of father doesn't want to see his kids blessed? Jesus said it like this: even you want to give your kids good blessings, and you're evil. So how much more should our heavenly father want to see us blessed? This is why single people listen to the word of God when God is telling you how to choose a mate. Don't listen to your favorite rapper. Because he's a good, good father. So you should be listening to somebody that wants your well-being. Somebody needs to hear this too. Even your earthly parents should be able to speak into who you're dating. I'm just trying to help some parents out right now. Why? Because they love you and they want to see you win. But my point in the Word of God is basically this: God wants to see us win more than anybody. So why aren't we? Why aren't we? Well, let's look at that today. Because I truly believe this. The believer, and when you read the Bible, even from Genesis to Revelation, the mark of anybody that walked with God, you ready? Was finances. The promise that always came when people walked with God: I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna bless your herds, your cattle, your lands. He promised it to Abraham. He did it even for Joseph in the prison. In the prison, Joseph was blessed, became the head of the jail, promoted him all the way out to when, even when he was a slave, check this out, y'all, even when he was a slave, he gets promoted to the highest position in the land of Egypt as a slave. How does that work? You want to know how that works? God was with him. So here's the thing, Eddie. You're a barber. There's thousands of barber shops around here. Why shouldn't yours be the most prosperous? Why? Why? Vinny's got a car cleaning company here. Why shouldn't yours be better and more prosperous than everybody else's if God's for you? There's a promotion in your company. Why shouldn't you get it? If God's with you now, God's with you now, why shouldn't you get it? I'm waiting for the answers, and here's the thing. When you read the Bible, you know there's no biblical answer for it. Now, there's a lot of reasons why. Because maybe you ain't a good worker. Oh, come on, somebody. Maybe you're a chismosa all the time doing your gossiping in the office rather than, you know, getting out there, you know. So understand that. The blessing is here. So guess if those things don't happen, it's not because God doesn't want them to happen. I believe many times it's because we don't understand how to use our weapons. Because let me tell you something. There is one enemy that doesn't want you to have none of the blessings, and that is the kingdom of darkness. So everything that God wants to give you, we need to understand there's an adversary. There's an adversary. Now, the adversary really doesn't have to do much work. Let me help somebody here, because some of you think we got a big bad devil out there. He's not a big bad devil. He's not. Quit being afraid of the devil and let's start dealing with the real enemy. You. You. You and I are the greatest hindrance to the blessing of God in our life. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching right to you right now. Tell your other neighbor, he created this whole message just for you. Just for you. Tell him. Some of y'all just looking at him. Tell your neighbor. Some of you are like, Pastor, this guy's going to punch me. I don't even know them. I'm not saying that. So let me read you this scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. I want to read it to you in the NIV this time. It says, for though we live in a world, here it is, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. So if you're taking notes today, I want to give you 5 points from this scripture today. Number one is this. We are in a world, but as believers, we don't fight like the world fights. I wish I can get a church full of folks that understand. Because the biggest problem I see with why we are not possessing the promises of God for our life is because we are fighting like the world fights. Oh, we're fighting. We're fighting. Come on, the Bible says here, you're in a war, whether you like it or not. Whether you signed up or not, there's a war raging. So you better get to fighting. Come on. You can't sit on the sidelines. The war's happening. You're either gonna, you know, kill or be killed. Okay, you're either going to engage here or not. And a lot of Christians are not engaging. And so guess what's happening? You're not progressing in life. You're not elevating like you should. The Bible is very clear. We are in the world, but we don't fight like the world fights. And some of you are. Some of you are. You have a bad day at work, and you come home, and you're angry, you're stressed, so you go to drinking. That's your fight against stress. Man, let me just crack open this. Let me just take the edge off. See, you're fighting with a carnal weapon, and it'll never work. You're fighting stress by smoking weed. That's the world's weapon against stress. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Well, Pastor, it was medically proven that CBD. Hey, if you really need CBD, take it in another form. Get the drops. Come on. You can buy it in a way that won't make you high. But I like them. Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. See, that's the problem. That's the problem with it. See, so you're using it as an excuse. Well, Pastor, it just helps me. See, because you're fighting anxiety and stress the world's way. And when you do that, that's going to come with a price tag. Number one, it ain't cheap. Y'all ever did the math on how much you was giving your weed dealer? And you're mad that we take offerings? That fool was ripping you off. I had some guys that were working for me when I owned my cleaning company. And we were talking, and I was witnessing to them. And I said, man, what do you guys do when you get off? He goes, oh, man, every night I leave here, I go home, and I get my bag out, and I smoke, you know, this, and it helps me relax. That was his warfare, his weapon against stress and anxiety. So I said, really? Every night? He goes, yeah, practically every night. I said, how much do you think you smoke? And, you know, let's break it down. How much do you think you smoke every night? Usually takes me about two of these, da, da, da. Came out, he goes, usually about, you know, $10 every night. Okay, every night. Well, let's do the math, my man. I know what I pay you. I know what I pay you. So every night, this is what you're smoking. And if you go out on the weekend, man, I probably doing $25, $30 worth. I get my friends. I got my girl, you know. And so we broke it down. And I said, I know what I'm paying you. This is the percentage that you're smoking every month to take the edge off. He was mad. He was mad. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, hey. See, this is my point, folks. We're in the world, but we shouldn't fight like the world fights. You can't fight stress and anxiety using drugs. Alcohol comes with a price tag. Comes with a price tag on it. Stress in the workplace. Man, they're gossiping about me. Because you're in a war. People don't like you. Well, they say another word, I'm gonna slap her face. See that right there? That's how the world fights. That's how the world fights. Well, shoot, I'm just going to spread this rumor. What about her? What about her and her man? Usually she's sleeping with Brad over in accounting, and he's married. So I'm going to put that. You see what I'm saying? It's like we're in the world, but we're fighting like the world. And you know what breaks my heart even worse is when we bring that garbage into the church. We all just trying to serve God, help people, be a blessing, and somebody's going to gossip about somebody else, and this person's going to get mad and fight back like the world fights. That's a problem. Now, we'll say this. You are going to have to fight back, but you better know the weapons to fight back. And I'm just going to tell you, this is where you have to make a decision. This is when you know you're a real Christian. Because you probably aren't going to like the weapons. Probably not going to like them. And you're going to go, no, I want my AK. Because Because Jesus taught it like this: bless them that curse you. So that girl that's gossiping about you in HR, you don't go over there and give her a piece of your mind. You know what the Bible says to do? Bow your head and say, Father, that woman's gossiping about me, and I'm feeling some kind of way about her. Lord, let her get in a car accident. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Some of y'all was going there. I saw you. No, you say, Lord, it hurts, but I'm going to do what your word says. Father, I pray that you bless her. I pray that when she goes home, she's blessed. I pray you protect her vehicle from all accidents. And Lord, bring her a man. She needs a man, God. Give her a good one, God. Those are some weapons. That's how we're supposed to fight. I wish I could get a church full of Christians that would fight like that. Instead of being mad when somebody messes up and gossips about you. Oh, so-and-so gossiped about me at church. I'm not going there no more. No, just fight the way the Lord fights. So we're in the world, but we don't fight like the world fights. Number two, here it is. Our weapons are not worldly weapons. Our weapons are not worldly weapons. So here's the thing, right? You're saved. God announces a blessing over your life. He tells us in his word, you have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. You have been saved, not by works, but for works. He marks us with a blessing of Abraham. Book of Galatians tells us this, that you and I receive the blessing of Abraham through the blood of Christ. What was the blessing of Abraham? That everything he touched would be blessed. That his children's children would be blessed. You and I have access to all those blessings. But here's the problem. Even though we have access to those blessings, we've got to learn that there is an enemy that does not want you to have your blessing. He don't want you to prosper. He don't want you to have kids. He don't want you to find a man. You guys got to understand why Satan is the way he is. He is jealous of you and I. Because he used to lead the praises of heaven. And now we get to sing praises every day. We get to magnify God in our devotionals every day. We get to say, God, you are worthy. You are. And he's mad because we get the blessings of being praisers and worshipers unto the Lord. He hates our guts. He hates us. And so you've got to understand this. There's an adversary. Go ahead and put that second one up, guys. The weapons of our world, our weapons are not worldly weapons. There it is. So we've got to understand, right? We've got to understand there is an enemy, and the enemy is going to, he's going to try to stop our blessing. But we've got to know the right weapons to fight against him, right? So I was mentioning these business owners here, right? So Satan doesn't want to, he wants to block your blessing. And here's what most Christians do. Well, I'll just pray. Well, I'm just going to pray against that. Prayer's good. Prayer's a part of it. But this is why we're talking about this. There's more to it. Because our weapons are not worldly weapons. So let me give you another example. And we'll get more into this in the weeks to come. How do I get over lack? My business is not producing right now. Man, I'm only breaking even, da-da-da. Well, here's what a worldly weapon would do. I just got to get out there and grind harder. Yes, but the Bible tells me that if I sow seed, I'll reap. But yet we can't get you to let go of what's in your hand. And so you're going to continue to fight with worldly weapons. My wife will tell you, anytime we have a need in this church, we sow a seed. When we have a need in our family, we sow a seed. Last fall, it was very, very, we were kind of going through it. Things were very tight here and in our personal finances as well. And so you guys bless me every year for my birthday. Such a blessing, man. And you guys blessed me for my birthday, and I received an offering, and it was a blessing. And I got to illustrate what I'm talking about here. But because we were dealing with lack in our family, you know what I did with that birthday blessing? I sowed the entire thing. Sowed the entire thing. Now listen, I needed some new clothes. I needed some stuff. I needed a break. Come on, that could have helped me take a weekend with my wife, you know. But I understand how to fight in the spirit. And my family was experiencing lack. So I told myself, well, we didn't have a lot. So the minute something came into my hands, I said, oh, this is a weapon. This is a weapon. And so we sowed my birthday money into someone else and said, God, I just thank you. And I just got to tell you, I did it with tears in my eyes. I did it with tears in my eyes, y'all. But I understand the weapons of the spirit. And we're going to get into more of these things. See, because now I could have just got on my face and prayed. But if I did that, you know what the Lord would tell me? Because I read his word. He would say, get up and now do what my word says to do. Most of us are just praying and you're not hearing that voice because you don't read your word. So your business is struggling and you're just going, God, God, bring the people. Please, God, please. I know you don't want me to go under, Lord, please. And God is going, man, if that fool would just read the letter I wrote him, he could see how he could break this spirit over his business. The weapons that we fight with, they're not worldly weapons. And so here's the big thing about it. Your tía, your tío, and sometimes even your mom and dad, they're not going to understand why you do what you do. So you're going to have to put a deaf ear to them. You have to put a deaf ear to them. We've had, when we were in this building drive, we had somebody that gave away their car. Not gave it away. Sold it and gave the money to the church. And people in the family were freaking out. What? Why would you do that? You want to know why they would do that? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're mighty through God. And anything I sow breaks lack over my life. Amen? But we got different weapons. We've got different weapons for everything you face. So that's finances. But there are also weapons that you're going to have to fight for your marriage. There's weapons that you're going to have to fight, single people, to find a good wife. I just tell you right now, they don't grow on trees. Those are monkeys, okay? You don't want one of those. A good spouse doesn't grow on a tree. You're going to have to fight for them. And you can't fight for one with a mini skirt and a tight shirt. You're laughing, but those are the weapons of the world. We're trying to find a man by using our Instagram. I don't know if you know this, but that's where the creeps hang out. But Pastor, you on Instagram. Oh, okay, whatever. Here's my point. You're trying to find a spouse using worldly weapons. There's a different way. So every blessing that's in front of you that's being contested, it's your job through the word of God to find the weapon that fits your situation. And I'm going to help you this month. Amen. Go to number three. Number three, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's what the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 10. Our weapons have divine power. Now that word divine means from heaven. It's got God on it. So here's the reason I'm pointing this out is because what the word tells you to do many times looks foolish. It looks foolish, but it's got God on it. Come on, you can hear it in your mind right now. I got God on it. No, okay. Ka-ding-ding. Oh, no, okay, sorry. George, I'm just joking. Our weapons have divine power. So when you do things that may seem foolish, it's got God on it. And what is God on there to do? Demolish things in the spirit that the enemy's using. Okay. Now, one of the main things it points out here is that it demolishes strongholds. Okay. Now, what is a stronghold? Well, a stronghold is basically a situation or a place in your life that the enemy is able to come, and it's almost like he's protected. It's a fortress for the enemy, okay? Now, contextually speaking, from 2 Corinthians, what it's talking about here is a stronghold in our minds, which is basically a harmful thought pattern that invites demonic activity, okay? And some of us have those. And this is also why you're not possessing the blessed life. Is because the way you're living your life allows the enemy to come in and work whenever he wants. Whenever he wants. He's got a stronghold in your thinking. Now, what does that mean? I'll give you an example. If you have an anger problem, right, and you lose it when you get angry, that's where the enemy can come in. Ah, he's angry, and he begins to come out of your mouth. Right? And then when it's all done, you're like in a daze and like, baby, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Don't go, baby. Please don't go. I didn't mean it. I'm getting too real here. Some of y'all put your head down. Like, dang, Pastor, why you do me like that? No, seriously. Because what happens is something else takes over. And now, and we've all done this, in our anger, we say things that we don't mean. Well, then where'd the thought come from? What was the motivation? Demonic activity. Now, I'm not saying the thought wasn't deep in your heart, but because of that stronghold, the enemy can come in. And we say terrible things when we're angry, right? Come on, Amber, let's just be honest. Some of us are scarred by the horrible things our parents said in their anger fits. I wish you were never born. Really? Really? Some of us heard that growing up. What was that? A demonic stronghold. A stronghold of anger. Come on, and you and I know it manifests in greater ways. You start dating this dude, right? Everything's cool. He's buying you flowers, taking you out. You know, you're telling all your friends about him. But then you have your first argument and he gets mad. He suspects you of cheating. He's jealous. Next thing you know, he goes to swinging on you. What is that? That's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. And after he swings on you, he snaps out of it. Oh, baby, I'm so sorry. I should have never did that. And it just happens, cycles. You want to know why? Strongholds. Tell your neighbor, you need to deal with your strongholds. You know, it's another stronghold, pornography. Pornography, lust. You just can't quit. You can't stop. See, and this is why, folks, you got to understand. Sure, it's something you can do in private and nobody knows about, but it's creating strongholds that are pretty soon just going to take over. Now, psychologists have now found out, too, that the dopamine that is released through pornography is just as bad, if not worse, than some drugs. And teenagers, young people, this is why we check your phones. Mom and dad, if you're not checking your phone and you got a teenager, what are you doing? You're lazy parenting. Or you're just like, I don't even want to know. Or you're listening to the world. It's completely normal. They're boys. That's what they're going to do. Now listen, it's our job to protect them. It is normal for them to be curious. It is normal for them to be sexual. But what is not normal is that every time they get on a phone, they go watch naked women having sex. What's not normal is pleasuring themselves to them to the point where they're releasing so much dopamine that they become addicted. What is not normal is that problem creates a shame on the inside of them. And now every time they're in a group of people, they experience anxiety. And you won't check their phone. And you won't have conversations with them. Teenagers, you got to understand, it's not that we don't love you. As a matter of fact, it's the fact that we do love you. It's the fact that we do that we got to go, man, I got to protect you, baby girl. I got to protect you, son, because I know how this flesh is. That's why it's incredible to have a man in the house, right? Incredible, man. You got to be vocal. You got to look at your son and go, bro, I know what you're dealing with. Been there, done that, and the devil had me. I don't want him to have you. Some of you need to tell your sons about your pornography problem that you had when you were 20, when you were 16, 17. Some of you dads act like you never did that. A father helps their son see the pitfalls. I've talked to my sons about the struggles. I say, son, I've been there. Man, this is where it's going to lead you. That's the power of having a father. Sure, they probably looked at me like, Dad, you was nasty like that? Really, Pop? Really? I just don't see you like that. And I got to go back. I was foul, son. I was foul. See, some of us want to keep up the image. No, they need to know how far you came. Hey, how far you came. I remember probably about 6 years ago now, my wife and I sat our kids down in the living room and we told them our testimonies. All of it. All of it. I didn't just go, yeah, I wasn't serving God and then at 19 I got saved. No, I said, this is what I was doing. This is what happened. And these were the results. And this is why we serve God. And this is why I drag you to church every Sunday. Because without Jesus, that's what I go back to. So I'm sorry. So I'm sorry you wished you could be like other kids and sleep in on Sundays and go play soccer every Sunday and miss church. But we ain't doing that. Because without Christ, I'm not here. So he deserves me and my family serving him all out. All out. See, our kids need to know that. They think some of you parents are just religious nuts. They don't know. Yeah, my dad likes church, so we go every week. No. It's not that I like church. It's like I need God. So our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. So this is why we're going to talk about this in the weeks to come. We've got to deal with the harmful thought patterns that invite demonic activities. Okay? We've got to deal with it. We can't turn a blind eye. And see, here's the ignorance of most Christians. You think it's just about heaven. Heaven's amazing. And we got to go there. You're right. We got to make it there. But man, God don't want you living in hell until you get to heaven. God don't want that. So we've got to look at what his word has to say. Let me give you number four. I got two more. So the first one was we're in a world, but we don't fight like the world fights. Number two, our weapons are not worldly weapons. They come from God's word. Number three, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds, harmful thought patterns that invite demonic activity. Number four, we must cast down arguments in our thinking that go against God's word. And this is all in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. I'm just breaking it down. We must cast down arguments in our thinking that go against God's word. Folks, that's renewing the mind. Renewing the mind. Anything that your mind thinks that goes against what God's word says, you got to deal with that. Many of us here live with a failure complex. That's why you don't start the business, because you're afraid it'll fail. This is why some of you young men are still single. You're afraid to ask her out, because you got a failure complex. And so you just creepily look at her every service. Week after week, month after month, year after year. Now, this happens every time I talk about this kind of thing. Some people are like, amen, Pastor, this ministers to me. And the women are like, dang it, now someone's going to ask me, and it's this. Ain't nobody here I like. And it happens every time. It happens every time. But you get my point. You get my point, right? There's no confidence in you. There's no confidence in you. You have a failure complex. You got to take some shots. You got to take some chances. But here's the thing about a failure complex. It goes against everything God's word says about you. Everything. Everything God's word says about you is this, that all you should do is win, 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 no matter what. That's not DJ Khaled. That's the word of God. Because even when I lose, I win. If I learn. Speaking of DJ Khaled, they asked him, man, why can't you lose weight? He said, because all I do is win. I can't lose weight. I said, touche, DJ Khaled, touche. But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Anything that goes against God's word in our thinking, we have to do the work to get it out. To get it out. I'll give you a quick example. I grew up in a family where, and it wasn't anybody's fault. It wasn't something or, my family made me like, no, it was me. It was me and the devil and my sinful activity. I grew up with a complex that I was the least in my family. I grew up with a, see, we got to quit blaming people and own it. Well, it was my dad. It was my mom. It was because we were raised in church. No, the bottom line is you coupled with the enemy. You didn't read the word and you believed a lie. And you know what I believed growing up? That I didn't fit anywhere. I had this rejection complex. I had, in my family, I didn't feel like I was the favorite. Didn't feel like I was a part, you know. And so when God called me into the ministry, I had to deal with that. Because who's going to want to be around somebody that thinks like that? So I took it upon myself, and I started reading God's word, and I camped out in the book of Ephesians that said, I am accepted in God. And every morning that was a part of my prayer time. Father, I thank you that I'm accepted in the beloved. And if you accept me, I'm accepted. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what I think. I reject, I cast down that argument that says I'm rejected. And I replace it with, Father, you have accepted me in the beloved. And it changed everything. Changed everything. Because now I can go anywhere in the world and I'm at home. I can go anywhere in the world and I'm at home. When I go to Malaysia, the pastor says, Pastor, will you meet with these multi-million dollar businessmen? And my mind goes, what? Why does he want you to meet with them? My mind says that. And I tell my mind, shut up. I'm the anointed man of God. I'm the called of God. So a couple trips ago, I met with one of the most prosperous lawyers in Malaysia. He is a corporate lawyer, handles lawsuits against businesses and things, and he was going through a trial in his marriage. Sat across the table from him, and he just began to pour his heart out to me. Now, let me just tell you this. We were in one of the most expensive restaurants I've ever been to. You know the kind where you don't even know what the silverware's for? Y'all ever been to a place like that? Now, I got some sense. I know the salad forks on the... I know you work your way in. But when they start throwing them little spoons in there, come on. And them little three-prong forks. And then there's the thing that you, I'm just telling you, I sat in a place like this. Sat across from him. Now, he's wearing an Armani suit, dressed to the nines. I couldn't even afford his eyeglasses. And he's sitting there. And I'm just me sitting in this restaurant. It was my off day, so I wasn't even dressed up. I'm sitting across from him, pouring his heart out about his marriage, and the anointing just comes on me. And I just begin to minister to him, and right in that restaurant. And ever since that meeting, every time in Malaysia, he always comes up and thanks me. But you know why I was able to step in that? It's because I had to cast down the arguments in my mind. Now, here's the thing. You got them too. You got them too, Cece. You got them too. And here's what the arguments will tell you. Nobody's going to want to marry me. Nobody's going to come to my business. But you got to deal with that. Because the Bible says you are wonderful. You're created in his image. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. The Bible tells you you're his son. Why would they not want to come to your business? The Bible says, God is for me. Who could be against? You see, you got to get what's in the book in your head. We got to cast down those arguments. And the last thing is this. We must make our thoughts God's thoughts. Let's just be honest. Some of us don't have God thoughts. We don't have God thoughts. We got our thoughts, and we got to get our thoughts out of the way. Put that fifth one up there, guys. We must make our thoughts God's thoughts. And that's what we're going to help you do. That's what we're really trying to do every Sunday. That's what your word time is for. We got to get you thinking like God. We got to get your swag from heaven, not from your favorite rapper. You got to get your mindset right from his word of God about who you are and whose you are. Amen.
Hey, everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Make sure you check us out next week as we continue this series.